and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It is written, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It is written, holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It is written, yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
For God is just a prayer away.
But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired of God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Use your money while you're living. Do not hoard it to be proud. You can never take it with you. There's no pocket in a shroud. Gold can help you on no farther than the graveyard where you lie. And though you're rich while living, you're a pauper when you die. Use it then some lives to brighten, as through life you weary plod. Place your bank account in heaven and grow richer toward your God. Use it carefully, use it freely, and do not hoard it to be proud. You can never take it with you, because there's no pocket in a shroud. Perilous times will come. So said the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. He said, know this. This is something that you ought to know. So listen up. Paul speaks of the last days, and he says perilous times shall come. Usually when preachers speak of the last days, they try to tell us the outline of the various events that will take place in the last days. Then a few months later, they revamp their message and give us another agenda, because things never turn out like they predicted. However, in this reference, Paul is not speaking about the events, but the character of men in the last days. Every generation has thought that they were living in the last days. I read a sermon one time from a preacher who lived in the 11th century, and in that message he said that things were so bad at that time that he could not see how the world could last much longer. That was almost 1,000 years ago, and preachers are still saying the same thing today. Martin Luther, in one sermon, said he was sure the second coming of the Lord was close at hand in his day, because he said, look at what we've done. We have invented the printing press, and we now have gunpowder. He evidently thought they had gone as far as they could go. Now, in our day and time, we are sure of two things. One, perilous times will come. Number two, we live in most perilous times now, the most perilous times in history. As to whether these are the last days or not, we will have to wait and see. But let us consider the perilous times today. On many of the ships of the United States Navy, there is more firepower than was used on all sides of World War II. That is enough to make our times perilous. I saw in a national news program about the threat of biological warfare. It was said that a small pleasure craft could sail into New York Harbor and release into the air a substance that was tasteless, odorless, and colorless, and within a few days, 400,000 people would be dead in New York. They would not even know they had been poisoned until they started to hemorrhage and die. Nations who are not friendly to America have this substance in their arsenal, so we live in perilous and grievous times. The teaching of evolution is responsible for perilous times in America for several reasons. Consider the shredding of our moral fiber. Evolution teaches that man is an animal. Animals are not bound by the same moral code as humans. When a racehorse has finished his racing days, he may be turned out to stud. No one regards the racehorse as a fornicator because he's an animal. Since humans have been taught they are animals, there is no right or wrong. One prominent movie actress married several times, and when the current husband died, the other three came to the funeral. I heard someone make the comment on the situation with a statement, "Why, they live like a bunch of dogs." Then think about violence. Since we are animals, the law of the jungle takes over. It is a matter now of the survival of the fittest. If someone has something you want, and if you're strong enough, take it. Kill, rape, steal. There is no regard for law and order. Success will come to those who are strong enough to stomp on or kill others. Why should it not be so? They teach us in school that we are animals. So why not act like animals? The law of the jungle is in effect today in America. Then there's the effect of evolution on atheism. Some church members try to mix evolution and Christianity together. They're only fooling themselves. You cannot mix oil with water. They say that God made man through the evolutionary process. Evolution is just the way God did it. According to this view, the evolutionist regards the story of creation in Genesis as a myth. How can a person be a Christian at the same time regard the Bible as a myth? Besides this, we could mention the growing scourge of AIDS that infects millions, the violence in our streets. And who can say that we don't live in perilous times? I was riding with a friend down the street in one of the 10 largest cities in the United States. My friend said, "Look at all those tourists today." I said, "How do you know they're tourists?" He said, "A tourist would be the only person who would be stupid enough to walk down the streets in this area." We live in perilous times. Are we living in the last days? Judge for yourselves as you consider just a few of these 19 characteristics of people that will be alive on this earth in the last days. For one thing, it says the first characteristic is men shall be lovers of pleasure, of self. Then the last one, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Lovers of self and lovers of pleasure are like two bookends that hold the rest of these characteristics Paul mentioned together. Notice the lovers of pleasure first. He did not say that we could not love pleasure, but these people love pleasure more than God. Do we live in such a day? For one thing, consider the fact that Sunday is now more aptly called Funday. Listen to this excerpt from a sermon preached about 400 A.D. by John Chrysostom, regarded one of the greatest preachers of all time. As he considered the decline in church attendance, around the year 400 A.D., he said, and I'm quoting here, "There are chariot races and satanic spectacles in the hippodrome, and our congregation is shrinking. No prophet can come to you by this exhortation," he said. "Some who heard my previous instruction," he said, "have rushed away, run off to the hippodrome," unquote. At this time, hordes of barbarians hovered on the borders, ready to swoop in for the kill at any sign of weakness. Officially, the fall of Rome was 476 A.D., but the process had already begun for hundreds of years by the indolence of a pleasure-mad society. Anyone except those who are inflicted with the insanity of our pleasure-mad culture can see the parallel today. The enemies hover on our borders, ready to move in for the kill. Our warnings are in vain, drowned out by the screams of Americans crying out on the Lord's Day, "Touchdown! That ball is out of here!" How many times have you heard the game discussed at the Sunday morning worship service? The various heroics of the stars, the last-second slam dunk or whatever? On the other hand, did you ever hear of a sporting event where people were discussing that marvelous sermon they had last Sunday or that beautiful gospel music? I was in a church one place where they advertised the appearance the following week of a noted linebacker. And when I ventured to mention a comment on this, one of the men said, "Well, we have to do something to draw the young people." Ladies and gentlemen, could it be that the cross has lost its drawing power? Was Jesus mistaken when he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me"? What you draw them with is what you draw them to. Draw them with sports, and you win them to sports. Draw them with rock music, and you win them to rock music. It seems that the world is gluttonized on pleasure. Every week the South plays the North, or the East plays the West, or the West plays, or the center plays the edges. There's no end to this idiocy. It looks like the Lord could have helped his cause along a little if he had only made two Sundays a month instead of four. Actually, one Sunday a month could be even better. In the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in perilous times. Paul said that the love of money is another sign of the last days. He said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That is the only explanation for the drug traffic. Money, 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 money. It explains the growing of tobacco. What else could keep people growing a weed that inflicts other humans with lung cancer? Money, 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 money. It explains the porn traffic. If the money is right, people will pose naked. Always, of course, in good taste. Money, 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 money. What's wrong with that? It explains the booze traffic. If you give vodka to a cat or a dog, you might be arrested for cruelty to dumb animals. Why is it just as detrimental to give it to each other? It is because of money, 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 money. I don't know if these figures are correct or not. I doubt it, but probably in the ballpark. For every person in the United States that dies from the bite of a mad dog, there are 10,000 who are killed by drunken drivers. Yet we shoot the mad dog and license the bartender. It seems to me that reason would tell us we ought to shoot the bartender and license the mad dog, and we would, were it not for the fact of money, 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 money. Love of money. The song of yesteryear is true. The best things in life are free, such things as air, water, fire, sunlight. God saw to it that these things could be enjoyed by all. It shows how wise God is. If they were not free, there no doubt would be various conglomerates that would buy up all the air, all the water and sunlight, and the rest of us would choke, dehydrate, or freeze. I'm afraid of too much money. I always throw away the sweepstakes tickets into the trash can. The reason I throw them away is because I'm afraid I might win by some rare chance. and I would not know what to do with all that money. Some would say, I know what I would do. I would buy the best car I could find, the biggest house I could build, another house in a warm climate, and another in a cool climate. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what I am afraid I might do, too. We live in perilous times. Another characteristic of the last days is people will have unnatural affection. Without natural affection, family life will break down. I rarely, if ever, perform a marriage ceremony anymore because I'm getting tired of marrying liars. A photographer told me one time he took pictures of one wedding and the couple was divorced before he got the proofs back. Some say that a marriage certificate is nothing but a piece of paper. Well, don't let some hell-bound degenerate tell you it is nothing but a piece of paper. It's more than a piece of paper. It keeps him or her from running out on the deal as easily as without it. Marriage is having a hard time of it. People shack up, but they don't call it that. They call it two consenting adults having a relationship, and worse than that, men marrying men and women marrying women. On a national television news program, I heard the host of the program ask a guest, who was a preacher, what does preaching the word have to do with what a person does in the bedroom? Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever heard a more pathetic statement than that from a man who's supposed to have good sense? The sad thing about his statement is, it probably reflects the statements of most people in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, America is in trouble. Moses said in Deuteronomy, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord. We live in a country that is literally going to the dogs. In fact, a great segment of our society has already arrived at the dog pound. No wonder Paul said in the last days, perilous times will come. Another form or another sin that goes on in the last days is the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the power thereof. Forms are necessary. The ordinances are forms. Baptism is a form. Here's a person who says he has been immersed for the remission of sins, but there's no evidence of a repentant lifestyle. Paul referred to baptism as that form of doctrine. However, if Christ is not in the form, there is no power in the form. He has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. Again, here is a person who says he believed on Jesus and claims he is saved and then was baptized after salvation. Then the baptism in that case was an empty form, no salvation connected to it. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Here's another who had a wet finger applied to his face as an infant. He cannot remember anything about it. When grown up, he may live a Christ-like life, or maybe he won't. If he lives a Christless life, he considers himself a Christian. That application of the wet finger makes the door of the church as wide as the world, and all manner of thieves, crooks, and people consider themselves Christians, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In the Lord's Supper, unless we discern the body, it is all form, shorn of power. Every time we neglect the Lord's table, if you listen carefully, you can hear the Lord asking, Adam, where art thou? Unless the Lord is in both ordinances, we are baptized reprobates drinking the cup of demons, having a form of godliness, and denying the power thereof. There is also a form of godliness in the preaching of the word. in the preaching of the word. At the invitation time, the audience is told, if you have a need, come forward. What does that mean? Does the preacher know what it means? If you are in a Christian church or Church of Christ and you can't tell the difference in it than a church that is of a denomination, what are you doing there? Paul said, from such turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, a final word. He said, evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then Paul mentions two characters named Jannes and Jambres, who were magicians of Pharaoh and withstood Moses. You see, Aaron threw down his rod, and it became a serpent. Jannes and Jambres threw down their rods, and they also became serpents. Aaron's rod then swallowed up the serpents of Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres also imitated the plagues of turning the water into blood, and the plague of frogs. But when God sent the plague of lice, Jannes and Jambres threw in the towel. They said, this is the finger of God. They had to admit at that time that they were lousy prophets and could proceed no further. Paul says false prophets today are like Jannes and Jambres. They too will reach a point where they can proceed no further. We have a lot of descendants of Jannes and Jambres in our pulpits today, and we wonder how far they can go before the Lord stops them. Today they withstand not Moses, but they withstand Peter on the day of salvation. Peter said, on the day of Pentecost, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The modern-day Jannes and Jambres say, just bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, don't look for Jannes and Jambres in any ministerial list today or in the phone book, because they are listed there by their aliases. Until that day when God calls our Jannes and Jambreses to account, abide thou in the things which thou hast learned, knowing from whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The world can tell you how to get to the moon, but it cannot tell you how to get to heaven. For that trip, we need the Bible. Only the Bible has accurate information on your sins, the Savior, death, the judgment, heaven, and hell. There is no course of study where a person can earn a Ph.D. in salvation. No one will ever figure it out and boast that he has found the way to heaven by his own intelligence. Paul tells us that the world, through its wisdom, knew not God. But it was the good pleasure of God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Belief in God goes beyond education or lack of education. No one will ever boast that he has figured out the way to heaven, because the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What Scripture is Paul talking about? Well, he has already told us. He said to Timothy, from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings. The sacred writing is the Scripture he speaks about. The Bible is inspired of God. I will go no further than that. No proof is needed. Defending the word of God is like defending a tiger. If I were called upon to defend the tiger, the best defense I could offer would be to open the cage door and turn him loose. The tiger can defend himself. The weight of this passage of Scripture is upon the power of the word itself. Just open it up and turn it loose. The power of the Bible to defend is shown in what it can do with human character and conduct. If you want proof of the inspiration of the Bible, just look at what the Bible has done for you. Look at the difference it makes in your life. Look at his influence on history. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be completely furnished unto every good work. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, perilous times will come. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.